Welcome to my house and service at Landmark. We're so excited about what God is doing. I've been talking to so many of you, and you've been talking to me about how the Lord has been drawing you closer to Him, and it just doesn't get any better than that. That's what we're after right there, is to become more intimate with Jesus. There was a question the other day on Twitter, and the preacher asked, what's the most important thing in serving the Lord? Well, you know, I know that a lot of people say soul winning, but can I say tonight, if we're not intimate with God, who's going to hear us? So drawing close to Him is the main thing. And Tommy Tenney's dad says, keep the main thing the main thing. And so I pray that we will remember to do that, endeavor to do it. Let us just pray and invite the presence of the Lord in to be with us tonight. Wonderful Jesus, we prayed before we went on the air, we prayed that you would draw people, Lord, to their sofas and around the TV or around their cell phones, in their car, wherever they may be. Those that you want to be here tonight, I pray they'll be right here to be encouraged by the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Thanks for being here. And grab your Bibles quickly. Make sure you get your Bibles. I don't want you to miss a word of this. So get your Bible and get something to write on. Get a pen. Don't be afraid to write in your Bible. In fact, let me just say something about your Bible. If you've got a Bible that's just all written up and highlighted up and scratched up like some of mine, I don't know how many Bibles I've been through, about 6 Bibles that are just worn and torn and covers falling off. But every now and then you need to get a new Bible. I think I've told you that before, but a new Bible can be a matter of life and death for you. It can be a matter of encouragement for you. It can be a just a place for revival to happen, because you'll see new things. Every time I open a new Bible, I get frustrated because I like everything comfortable. I like to go to the scriptures and know where it's marked. But every time I get a new one, I just see brand new things. So just consider that. That's up to you. That's your business. But just something I wanted to mention to you. Now, you know, we have an election coming up, so we should all really be praying about that. And we need to vote according to the word, not according to what our mothers and fathers taught us, what mom and daddy said. It's not about mom and daddy. It's not about what you think. But it's about what the word says. So there's a lot of things on the line this year that we can vote according to this. Okay, so make sure you have that. If you say, Pastor, I'm afraid to vote for some of the things on the ballot because I might do more harm than good. Well, we've got those propositions and things. We've got copies of that we can help you with that will help you to vote for the right things on that. The yeses and nos, sometimes I know how they're written, they're kind of confusing, but there's, you know, people have sent those out from all the organizations, the RNC, the DNC as well. So anyway, make sure you have one of those. If you don't have it on your phone, then you call and get it from us, and we'll make sure you get it. Well, we have our tithes and offering here, so make sure that if you're given an offering tonight or your tithe, please continue to sow seed in your church. If you're watching from another church, then your tithe belongs in your church. That's where you get your food. You don't need to divide that tithe with us. Now, if we are your church, of course, your tithe belongs with us. You would give your offerings wherever you give your offerings, but I'm just saying your offering doesn't belong with us. If you're going to another church, make sure you sow it at your home church because they need their blessing too. So you know where to give online. The addresses are there. And so we just bless you and thank you so much for supporting your church. And by the way, we do welcome you if you don't go to church with us, but you're just watching tonight. Maybe you've already watched your church service. I also want to say, in talking about the election is on November 3rd, but on November 1st and 2nd, I'm going to call a prayer meeting. And so we're going to come to that prayer meeting fasting. We're going to come to prayer on Sunday evening, November 1st, and Monday evening, November 1st at 6, 2nd, excuse me, November 1st and 2nd, that Sunday, Monday nights at 6 o'clock, so we can pray for the election, pray for our leaders in our Senate and our Congress. So if you join us, that will be very great. Well, I want to do something tonight. You know, those of you that are in the church with me know that I'm not, you know, I don't usually pull a chapter out of the Bible and say, well, let's see what today is and let's go look at this verse on today. I don't use it as a good luck charm or some of those, you know, things that people do. But tonight, I am going to do that. I'm going to look at something that I felt the Holy Spirit led me to this week. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. If you do that, there certainly isn't. But I'm just saying I wasn't accustomed to doing it, but I am tonight. We know that 2020 has just been something else, is all I can say. There's just been so much confusion in this year. And I look forward to the day that we can just look back at it and say, wow, do you remember 2020? So I don't think we'll ever forget it. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight or your phone or whatever you're looking at it in. Go to Psalms 120 and let it represent the year 2020. Then you're going to be surprised. We're going to go down to Psalms 121. And let it speak to us for next year, for 2021. Then we're going to go on over to Psalms 20 and let it represent 2020. And Psalms 21 and let it represent 2021. So you're going to see that the 20s, chapter 20 and chapter 120 talks about distress and distressing times and some confusing times. Then when you get into 121 or chapter 21 of the book of Psalms, you'll see where everything turns. So may this be prophetic tonight and speak to our future, what a great year is ahead of us. And I really believe that, church. I believe that some great things are coming. So turn over to, let's go to Psalms 120 first. And remember, keep 2020 in the back of your mind. Now, I was over at Macy's the other day in Visalia, and there was a lady there helping me, and she reached over to get something, and she dropped it, and she picked it up, and I could tell she was frustrated, and she had her mask on, and I had my mask on, and she says, I am so fed up with wearing this mask, and I am fed up with this year. I don't know how much more I can take. And she talked about just being so frustrated, and the people at work were frustrated, and the people at home were frustrated. And I said to her, I said, well, I think that we're all in the same boat. You know, we all are frustrated with it, but, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to go back to? Now, we've got to go forward. We're not going back to anything. But I just said we need to stay on this horse and ride it all the way back to the barn. If you've ever been on a runaway horse, it's not very much fun. That horse just takes off. It's headed to the barn, and it's hard to stay on. Now, depending on how far the barn is away from you, that can be quite a ride. But if the barn's not too far away, you'll stay on. But I'm just telling you, stay on this horse all the way to the barn, because God is going to keep us. Yes, we know that Satan is the author of confusion. The Bible tells us God is not the author of any confusion, so we know that. And we know this year has been full of distress and unrest and evil and darkness. And you know what? You know what's really causing all this is the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's above everything. And then, of course, they're telling us, you know, for all year long, stay inside. Stay behind a mask, isolate yourselves, don't have the big family over for Thanksgiving, don't have the big family for Christmas, don't go to school. You can eat, but bring your food home and eat inside or cook inside. You can go get your groceries, and you can go to the doctor if you need, or you can go online. So they're really telling us stay inside, stay behind the mask. So what are we going to do, you guys? What are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what the church is going to do. We are simply going to do what we've always done. We are going to look to God and His Word. That's the only thing you and I know how to do. That's how we know how to do it. And so we're going to look to God in His Word tonight. So I'm going to go to Psalms 120. And if you're ready to go there with me, get your Bibles. And we're going to be listening tonight for a few verses from a distressed psalmist. You say, well, that's an oxymoron. Those two don't go together. Sure, they go together. Preachers in stress go together. Lay people in stress go together. Christians in distress go together. Now, we shouldn't, but sometimes it gets that way, but at least we have a place to go to get rid of it. We don't have to carry it to work like the poor lady did the other day. I could just tell. So I got to minister to her a little bit there. But David says this. David said in verse 1, remember Psalms 120, kind of reminds you of 2020. David says, in my distress, I cried to the Lord and He heard me and delivered my soul. And then he cries, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 5. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now that's quite a mouthful. But David said, in my distress, he made it really personal. He said, I'm not out here, you know, I don't have to have your distress. I've got a load of my own. In my own distress, he tells you what he did. What did he do? The same thing you and I do. He cried to the Lord. He said, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. Again, it was personal. He wasn't asking somebody else to pray. He did it himself. He said, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. And what did he pray? Oh God, would you deliver my soul? My soul is getting worn out. My flesh, my mind is just way tired. My spirit is strong. But God, my flesh is weak in this distress. So Lord, he says, deliver me from these lying lips. There's all kinds of lying lips we hear. The media and politicians and there's lies everywhere in 2020. And David is saying, oh God, deliver me from the lying lips. And listen to this, and from a deceitful tongue. Now listen, church, we need to be really, really, really careful right here. Because God told us this. He said, if possible, in the last days, the very elect will be deceived. So you have to really pay attention to what voice you were listening to. You will either listen to the voice of lies, the voice of the devil, or you will listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. And you've got to hear what he is saying, because you certainly don't want to walk in deception. Not in this hour, not in this time. Now you can also jot this down if you're taking notes. You should go and look. I'm not going to go over to save time, but Psalms chapter 34 and verse 4. Psalms chapter 34 has always been one of my favorite chapters because it is just so absolutely full. Now listen to this. Again, the psalmist is saying, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And then he says the third thing, he delivered me from all my fears. Now, what we just read over in 120, he said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and I pray God that you will deliver me. But now here in Psalms 34, he gives us the recipe. Seek the Lord, but know that he hears you and he will, he says here, he delivered me from what? All my fears. See, if Satan can get you to fear right now, there's not going to be enough food, there's not going to be enough tissue paper or paper towels, and we're going to run out of this, and the electricity is going to go out. He gives us all these kinds of fears, or a sickness, or a dreadful disease, or all of these things, if he can just get you to fear. But David said, I sought him, he heard me, and he not only delivered me from my issue, he went ahead and delivered me from all my fears. That's awesome. So it doesn't get any better than that, to get delivered from all your fears. Now listen to this. Psalms chapter 34, same Psalms. Now, it mentions this about three or four times. But in verse 6, it says, listen now, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Now, this godly man cried, and God delivered him from fear. The poor man cried, delivered him out of all of his troubles. Did you know the guys out there, those homeless people, if they would cry out to God, did you know it can change their life? And a poor man, I'm not just talking about homeless here, but a poor man has a lot of troubles. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in his life. But again, you got the three things that go together. I cried to the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me. Verse 17 says, the righteous, listen to this, he's addressing us right now. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. See, we got troubles too. We're the church, but we have our own set of issues. So don't forget what we're talking about here in chapter 120 in 2020. You cry out to the Lord, he will hear you, and he will deliver you from what? From lying lips, from deceitful tongues, from fears, and from troubles. He'll deliver out of all of those things. So I want you to see what he said down in verse 6. Listen to this. This was so powerful, and it really is where we are living right now. David says, my soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Man, the church is wanting to be together. We're singing and worshiping, and they're saying, stop. You can't sing. You can't worship. And we're like, you've got to be kidding. And then you've got all kinds of people saying all kinds of things. And we're saying, God, we just dwelt too long here. Now we're through. I mean, even that woman over there, I don't think she was a Christian, but she was saying, I'm through with this. Well, there's nail shops and grocery stores that are pretty tired. I mean, they're up to here with this. Many of them are closing because their employees had to go find other jobs if they could find one. So God knows how long that we've dwelt among this people that hates peace. I mean, those people you see out there rioting in Portland and Seattle and Chicago and LA and San Francisco and all over the place, all of those people, guess what? They hate peace. They hate it. And we've dwelt, now you and I don't dwell side by side with them, but you may be dwelling at work with some people that hate peace. You say, man, I love it, but it seems like they're all for war. And when I speak, I try to speak peaceful things. And it's like the proverb said, if I speak peace to them, it's like taking their coat off on a snowy day. That's what the proverb said. So what are we going to do, church, when you're for peace and they're for war? Well, this just happens to be where we are right now, even in the voting. Why are we calling faster and prayer all over the world right now? We're calling it at Landmark because we want peace. We want religious liberty. We want to save the unborn. We want to be have freedom of speech. We want to be able to be free in America and keep it free, a free nation. We don't want to go into that. So we're calling for peace, peace. Calling, no, 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 we're going to take your rights. We want to take those freedoms. We've got to stand up for it. We cannot allow that thing to go on. So what are we going to do then? Can I tell you again? We are going to look to this, to God and his word. All right, let me take you into 2021. Can we do that? And I believe it's toward the end of the year and 21. I love this. The psalmist said in 121 verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. He meant, I will look to God. Just like I told you, we'll look to God. We'll look to his word. I'm going to look to him from whence comes my help. He said, my help. Again, personal. Remember up there he said, my distress. And now he's talking about my help. Personal. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's a big God. You know, he's not a little wimpy God. He made heaven and earth. And David said, I know how big he is. He's a great and a mighty God. So I look to that God. Now, here's what I want to tell you tonight. He has made some promises here that are just absolutely amazing. Let me just run through the promises here. You can read it later in verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, it says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. You see, I've had it. I'm just about through. Well, he said, I will keep you. If you turn to me, I will keep your foot from being moved. And then it goes on to say, He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps you. You say, well, I thought it said he keeps Israel. Well, it does. It says that in the next verse. But see, we sometimes don't read all the verses around. And if we aren't careful, we will eliminate something very important that is very relevant to us and very important for us. And I don't want you to miss that, because he said, He who keeps you will not slumber, and he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's just not going to mess around. He's going to show up. One preacher told me one time, he says, God is never early and he's never late, but he gets there just in the nick of time. Sometimes it seems like he runs a little late, but he's not going to get there early. So he does. He's not sleeping though, and neither is he slumbering. He keeps us. Now that word keep, if you want to run a reference on keep, it'll take you right back to the book of Genesis, where the Bible says God created a garden and put Adam in it to dress it and keep it. To dress it and keep it. And that's the same word that he's using here. And that word means preserve. He will preserve us. He will keep us. That same word. So he keeps us and he keeps Israel. Verse 5 says, The Lord is, I love it, your keeper. David said, yes, he's my keeper. He's Israel's keeper. But now I love it that he said he's your keeper. Not just because David was a king. He said he's your keeper too. And listen to this. The Lord is your shade. Telling you what, we've had some 110 degree days this summer. I'm sure glad it's over. You know, we've dropped down into the 80s now, but for a while we were hitting those three digits week after week after week. And I'd be playing outside with my little grandchildren trying to find a shade. And boy, is it refreshing when you find a shade and a cool drink of water. Well, verse 6 says, The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, what does that remind you of? He said, I'm going to protect you from your leaf withering and you just getting totally dried up in the spirit. I'm not going to let your feet move. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to slumber. I am going to keep you. But he said, I'm going to protect you from the sun burning you out, and I'm going to keep you from the moon scaring you, or the nighttime. That means a nighttime, like Psalms 91, for instance. Psalms 91 says, You shall not be afraid, you know it, of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day. So that's what he's saying here. I'll keep you from the arrows at night and the terror by night and the arrows by day. And then verse 7, now remember, we're talking about 2020 here. The Lord shall preserve you and all evil. He will preserve you from all evil. Now here's three more things. The first three was, is that you cry out to God, he hears and he delivers. Now in him keeping us, let me give you three more things. It says the Lord will preserve you from what? From all this evil. David said there was evil in his day, but he said he will keep you and me from all evil. The evil stuff going on around you at work, in your home, in the church, in our government, in our states. He said, I'll keep you from all evil. And he will preserve your soul. And it is our soul that gives us the trouble. You know, our spirit's all healthy and strong, but our soul, you know, wants to listen to the flesh. So whichever one you feed the most will be the strongest. If you are constantly feeding your flesh on TV or the news or, you know, whatever you're feeding it on, then it'll be the strongest. But if you're feeding your spirit and the Word of God and keeping it healthy with praise and worship, and you're worshiping and you're praising, then that's going to be the strongest. But the Lord said, I'll help you with your soul. If your soul's getting out of hand, he said, get it over to me. Don't get loose. Man, don't start veering off. You'll get so far out, it's hard to get back. So don't veer off now. Stay close to him, because he said, I will preserve. What's that mean? Keep. I will keep your soul. And then thirdly, he said, I will preserve your going out and your coming in. Just like it was in Deuteronomy 28. I'll bless you coming in. I'll bless you going out. What does that mean? It means I'll bless you when you go to work. I'll bless you when you walk in the front door of your sweet home. I'll bless you when you're going to town. I'll bless you when you come back. When you're going to your place of business or to the bank or the post office, I'll just bless you going and coming. From how long? From this time forever. I'll just bless you forever. So what? I'll keep you from all evil. I'll preserve you from evil. I'll preserve your soul. And I'll preserve you coming in and going out. So I'm telling you, that's beautiful. And we're going to keep that. Now, I want us to run back over to Psalms 20. Now, we just got a couple of minutes left here, but I think we can do this. Go to Psalms 20. I want to show you this. Ah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, I'm going to bless you here. It's funny that this Psalms 20, speaking of 2020, you know, most of your pastors, including myself, we bless you every time the service is done. Somewhere in that service, you're going to get a blessing. But I love it here that David, through the Spirit, speaks a blessing on us. So can I speak these blessings to you right now? This is so very powerful. He said, I'm going to bless you from this time forever. Psalms 20, 1 through 4. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Now, that's what he started out with in Psalms 120. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. That means you got to talk to him. If he's going to answer you, then speak to him and ask him. May the name of God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. And may he strengthen you out of Zion. And may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. Just stop right there and think about it. So let me run these by you. He said, may the Lord answer you. May the Lord defend you. May the Lord help you. May the Lord strengthen you. Now, it says God will remember your offerings, every penny you've ever given to the Lord, every kind word, every kind exhortation, everything, anything you've ever given to anyone. The Bible says, David tells us, he will remember your offerings. And I love this. He will accept our sacrifices. There are some times on Sunday when I pray over the offerings that I'll say, Lord, please accept our offerings. Because you remember back in Genesis, he accepted the tithes and offering from one brother, but he didn't accept them from the other. And Cain, he didn't like Cain's offering because it was given with a selfish motive. But Abel, he said, his offering is acceptable to me. But here he said, he'll remember your offerings and he will accept your burnt, hallelujah, your sacrifices. And then he goes on to say, may he grant your heart's desire. See, God wants to bless his people. He says, I want you blessed in 2020. I want you blessed now. I don't want to wait till 2021. I want to bless you now. I want you to have these blessings in this year. You know what? We've got them. We had a sacrificial offering back on our anniversary on August 11th. And I can't tell you of the people that have come to me. And my own son-in-law came the other night. He said, Mom, I got to tell you about this. Look at what we've had come in from the tithe or our special offering we gave. And mine, my goodness, mine's already been replaced 3 times over what I gave. And it was a sacrificial. Many of you can say the same. He remembered our offerings and he accepted them. So he said, I want you to have your heart's desire and I want to fulfill your purpose. What is your purpose? Well, maybe you don't know. You know, sometimes God calls us and then doesn't, you know, he wants us to seek it out. But he said, I want to fulfill your purpose. Now, what are we going to do then? Well, we're going to respond with worship and praise. That's what they did. We won't take time to go into that. But they worshiped and they praised him in verse 5. They said, man, we set up banners and we praised him. Now, verse 7, it says this. Man, my phone's really popular tonight. In verse 7, it says, now some trust in chariots and some in horses. But what are we going to do? We're going to remember the name of the Lord. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Now look, a lot of people trust in their homes, in their 401ks, in their business, in their money, and their parents, and their pastor, and their church. They trust in a lot of things. But David said, we are going to trust in the Lord our God, in the name of the Lord. We're going to bow down. He said, people have fallen all around us, and that is true. And the psalmist again said, if 10,000 fall over here and 10,000 over here, I'm going to keep standing. If I fall down 10 times, I'll get up 10 times. So he said, but we have risen and we stand upright. Now, I'm going to close with this. Psalms 21. Again, we've got a lot to look forward to. Now, these were all the blessings in chapter 20. But in chapter 21, David starts talking about himself as a third person. David says, the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord. So I don't know if he's talking to the people and say the king loves the Lord. The king is going to trust in your trust. I love it when I hear David talking about himself like that. I just want to say, Lord, the pastor trusts in you. I love you. The church trusts you. And call yourself by name. Lord, I trust in you. I trust greatly in your salvation. Because a lot of people trusting a lot of things, but not us. Why? Because we've stood up. We've stood up. We've kept going. We're going to church in spite of everything. And we're standing upright. And this song was written from David's heart. And he said, oh, God, how the king loves you. Well, let me tell you in 21, verse 8 through 13, and I close here. God will not always strive with man. That's what it says. It says the time is short and the devil knows it's short. So he's coming to get as many people into his clutches as he can. But see, this all this shaking is about the harvest. So you and I are here to bring in a mighty harvest. But let me give you the end of the story. I've been talking about the people of God up to this point. I've been talking about the way we get in distress and then we're blessed. And we have our troubles, but we call out to God. He hears us and he delivers us. But let me give you the bad news. If somebody's playing around tonight and you're not real serious about this thing, you need to hear what thus saith the Lord right now. Psalms 21, this is coming really soon upon us. Psalms 21 and 8. Lord, your hand will find all of your enemies. Your hand will find your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. And you shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. I'm not saying this. This is the word of the Lord. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. You're saying is that just sounds unfair. No, God is a just God. He has given us a space to repent. Many people, their entire lives, sometimes they just repent on their deathbed. But when he says your offspring will be destroyed from off the earth, what's he saying? He says there's going to be a generation where the cycle of evil is broken. I'm going to break it. And you know what, church? I believe it's by the end of this year and next year that the cycle of that evil generation is going to be broken for a few years. That's going to be an amazing, notable miracle when it happens. But this word will come to pass. And their descendants from among the sons of men, I will clean them off. For they intended evil against you, against God. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. They're just not that big. They're just not that big. They all think they're so powerful, but he said they can't do this. They can't stand against God. Therefore, you make them turn their back. They will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. They picked a fight too big for them, church. I think God may have picked a fight with them, and God always wins. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing praise and worship to you, O God. We will sing praise and we will give worship to you, O Lord. So that's the end of our days. That's what we will be doing. What are we going to do? We're going to turn to the Lord. Now, there was a preacher by the name of Jonathan Edwards. I used to have his little booklet in our bookstore called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was the most popular sermon the world has ever known. Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. Many have used that sermon and talked about it's a scary thing to fall, a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So a lot of people have used it, and it is so powerful, not preached much today. But I'm going to tell you, those scriptures are very, very serious. And there was a song written, you better get right or get left. So I'll tell you what are we going to do? We're going to say, oh God, be exalted in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. So let us sing and praise the power of God tonight. Lord, I pray that you have been pleased as this word has gone out. May this word not fall onto deaf ears, but God, go into the hearts of those that maybe tonight are discouraged and they are in distress and they're tore up and they don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. Maybe they've lost their jobs, lost their money. They don't know what to do. But Lord, I told them tonight, we turn to you. I'm telling you tonight, my brother, my sister, turn to God. You cry out to him. He will hear you and he will deliver you. He will deliver you out of all your troubles and he will deliver you out of all your fears. You are blessed. You are defended by God. He never sleeps. He will keep you. He will preserve your soul. Oh, your God is good to you. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. Tonight, I honor God and I honor you. And I pray that if you don't know God right now, wherever you are, just close your eyes, leave your eyes open, get on your knees. Whatever, just forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and live with me. Please keep me, Lord. Keep my soul. Keep my spirit, that I might know you. I give my heart to you, Lord. Come live with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and may he turn his countenance toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you Sunday. God bless.